For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 288. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, are you going on the IL too, or are you healthy? I don't know. Everybody's getting hurt these days.
Might need to. I need to do something about my shoulder. I can't throw anything overhand, but yeah, it's fine. It works. I mean, it still functions and does what I need it to do. So I guess I can stay active for the time being. But yeah, everybody is going down. And just watching the spring breakout Orioles and Pirates game, somebody jammed their hand in second base. I'm not sure who that was. Just caught the tail end of that play. But yeah, jammed hand doesn't sound too great. I think that was Jace Bowen.
Jace Bowen. Right now, it feels like the scene near the end of Space Jam, when like the entire 90% of the Looney Tunes are on the bench, just all hurt. And one's in like an iron lung and everything. Yeah, everyone's hurt these days. It's not... I think there's a lot more injuries this year than in years past, but I feel like we also say that every year. So who knows, but regular season's almost here. Another, we get the SEAL series coming up, and then as they're calling it, the domestic regular season or domestic opening day, which just sounds weird to say, and about 2 weeks or so from now. But yep, we're going to have a pretty fun episode looking into the future. Once again, we already did our prospect crystal ball a few episodes back. That was a fun one. If you missed it, go back and check that out. Now we're going to do our Dynasty Crystal Ball, something we did last year. But this one, we're looking 3 years into the future and projecting who the top players at each position will be in 2027. It's weird to think about 2027, but that's the year we're going with here, 3 years out. Before we get into it, though, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris that Roto Clegg. I am Eric Cross 04, shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And of course, check out all the other great things going on over at Rotoballer, where Chris and I both write a lot of great content and tools to help you win and have fun this fantasy season. Use the code Toolshed to get you 10% off any premium package over at rotoballer.com. And before we get into each position here, there was two players I just want to talk about real quick off the top. The first one, again, we're going 3 years out. First one is Mookie Betts. I don't know where he's going to be playing in 3 years. He was out, a guy that used to be an infielder in the minors, went to the outfield, second base, and now he's going to the shortstop. I don't know which of those three positions. He might even be a catcher by this, but I don't even know. But whatever position he is at in 2027, he will be top five. I just don't know what it's going to be at. So I didn't put him in any of my positions. And Chris, I don't think you did that as well. Did you?
No, I just figured we could just talk about him. I think he's still going to be a really solid player. He's such a good athlete, freak bowler, but he's good at everything, really. But I think he'll still be completely relevant. He'll be top five at some position. But I just didn't have confidence enough to say which position it would be at this point. But I do really like Mookie Betts a lot.
If Gavin Lux could make a throw from shortstop, it'd probably still be second base. But maybe he'll still be shortstop then. I don't know. I'm back to the outfield. We'll see. But yeah, he's going to be top five at whatever spot. And then he's positionless as a hitter. But Shohei Ohtani is probably going to be a top five player or whatever at that point in time. So just... We weren't doing utility-only guys, obviously. Obviously, Ohtani would be at a position if he was eligible at outfield or whatever. So I wanted to get those two guys out of the way right off the bat. But we'll go behind the plate. And this was probably one of the harder ones for me to project here. But, Chris, who are your top five catchers in 2027?
All right, so Adley Rutschman's still at the top for me. he's so young as is, and yeah, there's no signs that he will be declining by that point at all. We're looking at Adley right now. He's 26, which actually is older than I thought he was, but time just goes quick. So 29-year-old catcher, still completely relevant, and I think he'll still be the best at the position. William Contreras is also 26 currently, so I am banking on Contreras to be the number two catcher. Francisco Alvarez, he'll only be 25 at the time. I think he'll be mashing home runs. He'll be doing some big stuff, and he'll be the third best catcher. Ethan Salas will be up by this point. He's still only 17, which is wild to say, but I think that Salas is in the majors in 2025, and everybody saw he's more of a real-life player than fantasy, but no, the fantasy skill set's going to be really good. The underlying data on Salas was impressive. So Ethan Salas at 4, and Will Smith. While he will be 32, I still have Will Smith at 5.
So I have three of the same guys. Right off the bat, I have Adley and Contreras 1-2 as well. So they'll be 29 at that point. I think they'll still both be highly productive fantasy players. I have Samuel Basayo at number 3. Maybe he's a first baseman only at that point in time. I'm hoping that he's still just, maybe he just backs up Adley enough to retain eligibility. We shall see, but that blend of hit and power can run a little bit too. Is very valuable. So I think he's probably up next year, maybe this year, but more so next year probably. So by this point, he'd be like in the second full season. And I think he's one that could rise to the top pretty quickly. At 4, I have Gabriel Moreno. I was on the fence between him and Yiner Diaz here. And I'm with this one banking on Moreno showing those power. Like, we saw a little bit of the power gains late last season and into the postseason during their run to the World Series. And hopefully he can at least get up to, if he's 15 to 20 home runs even, I think you're looking at a top five catcher. Obviously, he's one of the better hit tools in the game. High contact rates, low strikeout rates. Guy that can hit 280 plus annually. And if he can get up near 20 home runs to go with that, I think he'll be top five at the position. So hoping that those late season power gains stick to at least to some degree and maybe even continue to develop, as he'll only be, I think, like 26 at this time. I think he's 23 right now. So still be in the prime of his physical career. And if I also have Will Smith, could have gone a couple different, some of the younger guys, could have gone Yiner Diaz. I thought into Harry Ford, so the speed that he brings to the position. But Will Smith, 32, I don't think he's to be one that breaks down yet. Obviously, with catchers, you never know. But he'll still be, I think he'll still be with the, under contract with the Dodgers then, or maybe not, but still, obviously, a very good catcher. So I think he's still at least top five at that point. Maybe after that, he starts sliding down more towards the back end of the top 10. Adley, Contreras, Basayo, Moreno, Will Smith for me. Adley, Contreras, Francisco Alvarez, Ethan Salas, and Will Smith for Chris. Going over to first base, I have Tristan Casas at the 1. Obviously, I already have him ranked pretty highly as it is now. I think he's going to be an annual 35 homer bat. You know, guy that drives in a lot of runs, hits about 270, and you know, he'll be 26 at that time as well. So I think they're going to build around him. I hope they get a contract extension done. I know there's been like preliminary talks, nothing's imminent, but I do think he's going to be the guy they build around there in Boston, him and Devers long term. And yeah, oh, he just turned 24, so he'll be 27 at this point in time, but I think he's going to be an absolute four category monster. Right behind him, Matt Olson, who will be approaching 33 at that point in time. Olson's a guy, I think he's going to be a massive slugger into his mid-30s at least and age gracefully. So I think he'll still be a top option. Vlad Jr. at 3, he'll be almost 28 then. And I think Vlad is what he is. He's going to be like a top five first baseman for the next 5, 6, 7 years. So I still have him here at number 3. Bryce Harper, I still have at 4. I thought long and hard about not including Harper. He will be 34 at that point. Health obviously is the question mark there, which is why I was going back and forth on including him, but Harper's elite. If he can stay healthy enough, I think he's still top 5. And then fifth guy, I'm going Christian Encarnacion Strand. I think he's also going to be a guy that gets up into the mid-30s with home runs, especially at that ballpark, that he gets to play in half of his games. I think the average will be 260, 270 or so in that ballpark. And driving a lot of runs, that Cincinnati lineup's probably going to be pretty damn good if some of these young guys get up to their potential, McLean, Ellie, Noelvi, et cetera. going to be a really fun lineup and a really fun park. So another guy that could be is a real high impact in three categories, solid enough average. So I put him at five, which just eked out Pete Alonso. I was on the fence with those two, and really Harper, two of those last three spots. So Cassius Olsen, Vlad Jr., Harper, and Kadarsky Lestrand for me. Who you got, Chris?
Yeah, this might be my hardest position, largely due to the fact that a lot of the top first basemen right now are over the age of 30. And the younger first baseman, I don't know, like, how do they end up developing? So I landed on Vlad Guerrero Jr. at one. He is just 25 years old. I think that with Guerrero, we're still looking at somebody that has, you know, all the skills in the world to be a really good hitter. I think he can get back to the elite status. Bryce Harper, I had at two. I know Harper will be 34 at this point. Harper's contact skills have only gotten better with age, which is pretty impressive, actually, when you think about it. And then I had Tristan Casas third. I think that obviously he'll be relevant for a long time, just 24 years old. Pete Alonso, I had at four. Alonso's 29, so he'll be in 32 at the time that we're looking at, 2027, which is just very odd to think about 2027 in my brain. But then Matt Olson, I have Matt Olson still. He's just turned 30. But I do think Olsen, the profile will age well. He may be higher than this. I think he's going to mash for a long time. So I'm still very much in on Matt Olsen.
Now, how hard was it for you to not include, even though he will be 37 at this point in time, how hard was it for you to not include Freddie Freeman? It was really hard for me because obviously he'll be 37, but it's Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman might still be elite at this point. It's highly possible.
It wouldn't shock me one bit.
No, not a bit. He is so good. He continues to be the ageless wonder of Major League Baseball. Absolutely spectacular year over year. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he was still in the top five at this point. Yeah, I think it's a real possibility, honestly.
I wonder, he might have an outside chance at 500 home runs. He probably doesn't get there. He's 321 right now. Let's say he plays another, what's his contract go through? His contract is through 2027. Okay, now he'll play past that. Let's say he plays another 7 years. He needs 179. So you're going to need around 25, 26 a year for the next seven. He could. I think there's an outside chance he gets to 500 or at least up in the upper fours. Probably guy gets up to 1,800 RBI, probably pushes 2,000 runs, career 301 average. He's a first round Hall of Famer if his career continues the way it does.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He was hard to exclude, even though he's going to be 37 at this point in time. All right. So first base was for me, we got Tristan Casas. We got Matt Olson. Lost my thought here. Matt Olson, Vlad Jr., Bryce Harper, and Encarnacion Strand for Chris. Vlad Jr., Harper, Cassius, Alonso, Olson. Let's go over to the Keystone here at second base. What do you got, Chris?
All right, at second, I still have Ozzie Albies first. It was a hard choice here. Another situation where a lot of the top guys are a little bit older, but Ozzie will just be 30 at the time, and he's aged well. He continues to hit for power despite the smaller frame. So I've got Ozzie first. I've got Jackson Holliday second here. I've got Matt McClain third, Gleyber Torres fourth, and Zach Gelof fifth. But I'll say, like, I wanted to put a couple of prospects in here in Colt Emerson, who I think is a second baseman long term. He's very advanced. Wouldn't shock me at all if Colt Emerson sneaks in as a top five second baseman at this point. You have guys like Nico Horner, who is still 26 years old. At this point, like, I don't see Marcus Semien, Jose Altuve being relevant. He's also considered Colt Keith here. Matt Shaw, like, what position does Shaw land at? He could be top five at second. Yep. So yeah, these were some tough ones, but Gleyber, consistent year over year. You've got Albies, who's been consistent year over year. You've got the young guys, Matt McClain and Zach Gelof, who are 2020 type bats. And then Jackson Holliday, who could easily be at the top of this list, which you actually have him at the top. So you can take it away with that.
Yes, I do. So Jackson Holliday at one, McClain two, Ozzie three, Geloff 4 and Keith 5 for me. And this was a really tough spot because the first three, I had those down quick. 4 and 5, I had to really think about, and I went back and forth between several players. Considered Gleyber Torres as well there. But Geloff, we talked about the contact skills. They were not good. There's always that concern. But if he can just figure it out to be a 250 hitter, which is not too much of an ask, I think, especially given his quality of contact and his speed, this could be a 25-25 guy. That's what he was last year. He's on a near 30-30 pace last year. Definitely has the power and speed to go 20-plus, maybe even 25-25. And if he's doing that with an average that's not hurting you, like if it's 220, 230, that's one thing. But if it's 250, 260, that's absolutely adequate enough, that position with that power and speed. So who knows what the runs and RBIs will look like, because who knows how good that lineup will be around him. Right now it doesn't look too good, but we shall see what it looks like in 3 years. But, yeah, so I'd go off at 4. And then, yeah, Keith at 5. Again, I thought about Shaw. I think Shaw's more of a third baseman, but Shaw is definitely in consideration for second or third base. I love Matt Shaw. Good amount. And Keith isn't flashy. He doesn't have the power speed button that Geloff has, but this could be like a 270 to 280 hitter, 25 home runs, and maybe a guy that's just 80 plus, just really solid across the board. Probably always gets overlooked and undervalued to a degree because he's not flashy, doesn't have big speed, doesn't have massive power, but very good blend of hit and power for Keith. And I think that Detroit lineup would be pretty good. They got a lot of good young players there. At that point, they'll probably add Max Clark and maybe some others to that mix too. So, yeah, I have Keith at 5. And I went Holiday at 1 because I think even if he gets – ultimately, I think Holiday sells in the vicinity of 20 home runs. Maybe some years he's 17, 18, 19. At the years he gets up in the mid-20s, maybe he has like a 27 home run year at peak or something like that. I don't know if he ever gets to 30, maybe. It's not out of the question, but right now I feel safer in this range that I just said. And if he's adding 25-plus steals to that with a potential 300-plus average, basically giving it what Ozzie's at now with more speed and maybe a little less power. That's why I put him at 1. I think Matt McClain, what we saw from him this past year, was very legit. I think he's a basically 25-25 guy like Geloff, but with a better average, better ballpark, better lineup around him. So that gives him the edge. And Ozzie, I think he's still going to be pretty good as he gets into his late 20s there. Maybe he's a guy that falls off in his 30s. When he gets to be 32, 33, but he'll still be late 20s at this point in time. So fine having Albies in the top 5. So I got Holiday, McClain, Ozzie, Geloff, Keith. Chris has Ozzie, Holiday, McClain, Gleyber Torres, and Geloff. Over to the hot corner, another one that has a lot of good young talent. I went Junior Caminero, number 1. Maybe a little bold with all the big names at this position, but I think he's a guy that's going to hit 270. 30-plus home runs and even steal maybe 10 bags or so a year. I went Royce Lewis at 2, which is, this was really tough. But if obviously health is the big thing here. But if you can stay healthy, he's a guy that's going to give you maybe even 40 home runs, a 275, 280 average. And maybe he chips in a little bit of speed. So I put him at 2 and just hope the knees can hold up. And then I get the dynamic duo, Austin Riley and Rafael Devers, 3-4. These two guys have been very close in production the last few years and very close in age. I think Devers is 4 months older, and I don't see them separating. I think they're going to be stick together for the next handful of years. So 3-4 there, definitely still top 5 options. They'll both be, I think, 30 years old at that time. And then 5 could have gone really a half dozen different ways, but I'll go with the recent suspendee, Noelvi Marte, who, yeah, it sucks. I had a ton of Noelvi shares. I know you did too, Chris, both redraft and dynasty. So this is a tough blow, tough pill to swallow right now, but I think it's just a minor speed bump. If you can trade buy low, I would absolutely do. Still think long-term, this is a 5-category impact fantasy contributor, 30 home run guy. Maybe he ends up only being like more like 12 to 15 steals, but good average to go along with it. He's always had solid contact skills. And obviously the great ballpark and lineup context as well helps. So I'll put Marte at 5. Over to you, Chris.
All right. This one's a good one. I like this position a lot. The top 2, Austin Riley and Rafael Devers. Currently, those guys right now, you take out potentially Gunnar Henderson as a shortstop, which we'll talk about in just a second. And those are my top 2. So Riley and Devers, still there. They're both 27. I think these profiles age really well. And at 30, they are still mashing. So excited about both. I had Junior Caminero third. I think that Junior Caminero, we hope that he becomes Austin Riley and Rafael Devers. And so I'm not ready to push him ahead of them yet, because I still think we need to see a little bit more out of him. I have Royce Lewis at third, which is actually frightening, just given the injury history. Can he stay healthy? We shall see. And I put Kobe Mayo in at the fifth spot, who I really like too. He's ranked very similar to Colt Keith for me, and also Novi Marte. So it's okay. With what we know right now, like, I'm just going to bank on Kobe Mayo and thinking that he can push up there in that range of being a top five guy.
I almost included Mayo at first base.
Yeah,
I really thought about that too. I think it's still where he's at, which corner infield what he's at in 3 years. I think it's still 50-50. I mean, I would lean third, but I think first base is a distinct possibility as well. We shall see. Obviously, they have a lot of moving parts there in that infield in Baltimore, a lot of talented young players. So could be either spot. But yeah, Mayo was a hard one to exclude from this list. I almost did. So obviously, I like Mayo a lot. All right, rounding out the infield with the most loaded infield position, shortstop. Who you got, Chris?
All right, this one actually, I'm not going to lie, it was hard. I've said a lot of them are hard, but yeah, I think Bobby Witt stays at the top. He's currently at the top. I don't see any of that changing anytime soon. When we're looking at an elite talent like Bobby Witt Jr., who is still only 23 years old, so he's still going to be in his prime. He takes the one spot for me. Gunnar Henderson took the two spot, followed by Ellie De La Cruz, O'Neill Cruz, and CJ Abrams. And I'm not going to lie, when I looked at this position, I'm like, man, this position might not be as good as we think in a few years. You know, you've got Mookie. It's technically eligible there in some leagues. You've got Seager that'll be 33 in 3 years. You'll have Trey Turner, who will nearly be 34. And that profile, I don't think ages all that well with speed and everything. Francisco Lindor will be 33 and a half. So, man, maybe Bo Bichette. Like, I considered Bo Bichette in there, and maybe I should have included Bo Bichette over Abrams, but that's close at the back end. And while Abrams, to me, is still a wild card, I think he's so young and he'll figure it out that I put Abrams in the back end here in the fifth spot.
Yeah, he's definitely someone I considered as well. Even though I have been vocal about possibly selling high and that ADP is too high this year, but I still think he's obviously a good player with a lot to offer to fantasy teams long term. For me, the first four are actually fairly easy. I went Bobby Witt Jr., Ellie De La Cruz, Gunnar Henderson, and O'Neill Cruz. And I even considered bumping O'Neill Cruz ahead of Gunnar. I think Gunnar's profile is safer. I would say Cruz has higher upside than Gunnar. We're starting to see that. And Cruz has been hitting very well this spring. Absolutely just pummeling the baseball, multiple home runs over 110 miles an hour. Could be 35, 40 home runs, 15, 20 steals, and hopefully like a 250, 260 average, something like that. But again, felt safer about Gunnar. You know, I think Gunnar's going to settle in as a 25, 30 homer bat, 15 steals or so, solid average, better OBP, good lineup, or maybe even a great lineup around him with all that young talent. And Ellie De La Cruz at two. I am more a believer, I think, very split camp on Ellie, obviously, and not hard to see why, given the green and red flags in the profile. But I am one, the thing, like, he's always made adjustments along the way. And yeah, there's still a lot of risk in this profile. But man, like, he could threaten Bobby Witt Jr. if everything clicked. He might even have higher upside than Bobby Witt Jr., which is just feels crazy to say. But looking at a guy that has enough pop to hit 40, has enough speed to steal 50. That ballpark, that lineup, it's just the upside of everything clicks, and he has that 1 year. Like, it could be an Acuna-level year. That's the upside we're talking about here. Felt good putting him at two there. So I do think, you know, maybe the average won't ever be great, but I think the rest of it makes up for it. And yeah, Bobby Wood Jr., I think he's still top five player at that point in time overall. So easy to put at the one spot here. And then my number five guy, man, yeah, that was hard. I thought about Abrams. And then we have all those guys you mentioned, Chris, like the current 29, 30-ish year old guys that'll be 33, 34 then. Seager, Trey, Lindor, those types. Bo will be 29 at that point in time, almost put Bo, but ended up going with Jordan Lawler. I still very much believe that Lawler is a potential 20 to 25 homer bat, maybe even a little bit more than that. I wouldn't be surprised if he flirted with 30 at some point in his career. I think he's 25 plus steals and 260, 270 average in a pretty, decent Arizona lineup as well. So I think he still gets to that level. I still have a lot of, high expectations for him. And if you can buy low or even for 95 cents on the dollar right now, I absolutely would. Yeah, he came up and looked, bad in 14 at bats. That's all it was. And now obviously he's got sent down to AAA to start the year. I'd still look to buy. I think there's a very bright future there for Jordan Lawler. So that was really tough, but ended up going with him. Oh, to the outfield now. We're going to do top 10 here and top 10 at pitcher. And outfield was, I won't say easy, but there was a lot of guys, like all the top guys are like early to mid-20s right now. So it's not going to look a lot different, I think, in 3 years. I think we have a few new names entering the fray. I still got Acuna 1, J-Rod 2, and Corbin Carroll 3, because in 3 years, this trio will be 29, 26, and 26, respectively. Only thing that's really going to derail them is injuries, and let's just pray that Acuna's knees stay good and don't keep having issues down the road. That's like the one thing that's always in the back of my mind with him, but fingers crossed there. So those are still my top three. Those are my top three now. So of them is my top three in 3 years. And I'm going Wyatt Langford at 4. Really debated. I wanted him top three. Really wanted him top three, but just couldn't do it. So I don't think he's going to be like that level of speed impact like those other three are. But I think Langford's going to be 280 plus, high OBP, 30, 35, maybe even more home runs. Maybe 20 steals early on. Maybe he gets down to like a 15 to 20 steal guy. He'll hit in the middle of Texas lineup. Good lineup, good park. Like he said, be the whole package. So he'll be 3 years in his career there, 25 years old. I think he'll be right up into that top 10 overall and top five at this position. Then I went Tatis Jr. At 5. Still think he's an annual 30-30 threat there, even though the floor is a little bit lower than the other names so far. Kyle Tucker at 6. Same thing. He's going to be a little older at that point in time. Tucker will be 30, but I still think he'll be one of the top 15 players for fantasy at that time. Soto at 7, Michael Harris at 8, Jordan Walker at 9, and Jackson Churio at 10. Still very much a believer in Walker. Still as high on him right now as I was this time last year. Still think he's a 30-plus homer bat, double-digit steals, 270 average. So I think he'll get up into that top 10 at some point, and maybe even gets there this year. We'll see. Harris, super underrated still. I think he's going to be an annual 25-25 guy that hits for high average as well and scores a lot of runs. And obviously Soto is Soto. He'll be 29 at that point in time. Still an OBP monster. And Churio, probably a 25 homer, 30 steal guy. Maybe a little bit lower average than Langford or most of the other guys. But if he's 260, that's still a top 10 outfielder right there, no doubt in my mind. A lot of tough names to leave off here, though, Chris. It was tough not putting in like Evan Carter. You can go Jason Dominguez, Arozarena. A lot of fun names that had to be left off, but tough spot. But who do you got for your 10?
Yeah, this was certainly a tough one, but I got Ronald Acuna still at the top. I've got Julio Rodriguez still at second and Corbin Carroll still third, like I currently have them. I have Fernando Tatis Jr. at 4th and Wyatt Langford at 5. Followed by Juan Soto, Kyle Tucker, Michael Harris II, Jackson Churio, and Dylan Cruz. So, yeah, it's a really fun group here. Most of the guys already in the top 10. The only guys that really move up are like the Churios, the Cruz, and the Langford types. But I do think that like Yordan Alvarez was an interesting one that I debated. It's really tough to project with him. I struggle with like where does this profile land in 3 more years, because he's always struggled with the knee injuries, and man, I don't know. Like I'm really wondering like where does Jordan Alvarez long-term projection land? So yeah. I omitted him, but it was very close. I considered him for sure. I don't know. That was a tough omission not having Yordan, and they're mostly outfielder just so young. So it's like, all right, these guys are, they're still going to be there in 3 years. But the older guys like Aaron Judge was tough and Yordan were tough to figure out where to put them.
So right now, currently, my top 10 outfielders put you at number 12 overall in my dynasty rankings. Admitting a guy like Yordan, he could still be a top 20 overall player. Absolutely. He was a very tough admission for me as well. Everyone knows I've been my Yordan guy. I love Yordan. I think he's, you know, arguably the best hitter and the all-around hitter in the game. And Luis Robert was another one that was tough to not include. He's currently my number 9 outfielder right now, number 11 overall. He'll be 29 at this point in time. And again, I think he's still a top 20 player at that point, but there's again, I'm worried about the durability with him as well. I mean, when he's healthy, you saw what he could do this year. And even he still missed like what, 20, 25 games this year, whatever it was. And he went, I think it was 38, 20. Like the upside's there to go 40 home runs, 25, 30 steals. But I just worry as he gets older, and yeah, he won't be super old at that point in time, but I just worry he's always going to be a guy that's just missing a little bit of time here and there and just limits him a little bit. I think he'll still be top 25 or so overall, but he was another hard one to omit at this position. And Mike Trout, who knows? I'll never write up Mike Trout even at age 35, but we'll see how the back holds up for Mr. Trout. All right, let's end it on pitcher. This is actually a really fun one to try to project, especially with some of the imports coming over from Asia and whatnot. So fun spot. Chris, who's your 10 here?
Yeah, this one was a lot of fun as well. And I really struggled out after Spencer Strider. It was like, okay, he's the top guy. And then where do we go from here? And I'm still toying with it. I actually think Roky Sasaki is number 2. He's here at this point. So Sasaki, number 2 behind Spencer Strider. And I have Yuri Perez at 3, Yoshinobu Yamamoto at 4, Paul Skeens at 5, George Kirby at 6, Bobby Miller at 7, Pablo Lopez at 8, Freddy Peralta 9, and then my 10th spot, ooh, that is tough. I'm going to go Grayson Rodriguez in the 10th spot here. But there are several other arms that I really want to put in this range. Like Tarik Skubal may still be a guy where he's, I don't think you have him in. He should probably be in. There's a couple of other pitching prospects that certainly could be in here at this point. So yeah, this was a really hard one for me to debate back and forth in my head, because pitching prospects or pitchers in general, man, they're volatile, but that's where I'm leaning right now. So it was a tough pick for sure.
Yeah, this was a really tough one because there was like 15, 16 guys I wanted to put in this 10. But Strider's still number 1. He's going to be – how old is Strider now? Strider's 25 now. Yeah, he'll be 28. He'll still be dominant. He'll be pushing 300Ks a year. Yeah, so no reason why – like he was an easy one to put at number 1. I don't think anyone's taking him off that throne anytime soon. Though, these guys in the next few, they could. I could definitely see – so I have Yuri Perez at 2 – Grayson Rodriguez at 3. Obviously, I love G-Rod. I always have. And Yuri Perez, he's maybe got the highest upside in baseball outside of Spencer Strider on the mound. So I got those two at 2-3. And I went Jackson Jobe at number 4. Current number 1 pitching prospect for both of us. And everyone's starting to see what this guy is really capable of. When you're looking at potential for 3-plus pitches in the arsenal, a guy that could be sitting upper 90s at that point in time with plus command and control on top of that. That 1-2 of him and Skubal is going to be so damn good over the next at least half decade or so. It's going to be fun to watch. If you're a Detroit fan, get ready. That's going to be a fun duo to watch take the mound 2 out of every 5 games. So he's at 4 for me. I put Roky Sasaki at 5. I could easily see him going up a couple spots there. Obviously, some call him the best pitcher on the planet right now. But obviously, wait to see how he transitions over. But I think he'll be an absolute stud. Get Bobby Miller at 6. The stuff is just studly. Obviously, upper 90s fastball, big slider. Like the guy can miss bats, limits hard contact, limits walks pretty well. So I think he's going to be an annual top 10 arm. Went George Kirby at number 7. Yoshinobu Yamamoto at 8. I think he's going to settle in as like a back end top 10 pitcher. Tarik Skubal at 9. And I went Paul Skeens at number 10. Yeah, I'm definitely buying, what we're seeing from Skubal, buying what we saw last year. It was hard to exclude Gerrit Cole, 36, at that point in time. Maybe if he wasn't, you know, having the elbow issues now, maybe he seeks another back end of this. Same with Corbin Burns. Burns will only be 32. Maybe it was foolish to not have him in here. So he's definitely right in that range as well. Zach Gallen, same thing. He'll be 31. He was hard to not include. Pablo Lopez was a strong consideration, as was like Shane McClanahan. I think could bounce back into the top 10. Freddy Peralta was in consideration. Glasnow, a few others. Maybe Reagans continues his ascension and he's in this range. We shall see. Or even Cade Horton, another top pitching prospect. So Andrew Painter, a lot of fun names. So this would be a fun one to project, see what it's like in 3 years from now. But that's going to wrap us up. This was a really fun episode looking into the future. Obviously, we did the prospect one too a few episodes ago. So if you missed that, go check that out. And that'll wrap up this week of Toolshed. We still got two more weeks of three episodes before we drop back down to two episodes when the regular season starts. So we got a lot of fun stuff lined up. And we will see you all again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.